Brooks Running is 560, 560. Through the first, second, fourth group. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him for. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust You, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
For open prayer, turn over to 552.
This one we'll do the first, third, and fourth verse. 1, 3, and 4.
I know not why God wondrous great to me He has made known, nor why on earth He Christ of love receive me for His own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. A weary wind or golden day before His face I see. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able keep that which I committed unto Him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair. Nor is my walk unveiled with him, or meet him in the air. But I know who I have believed, and ever waited, that he is able to keep that which I committed unto him against that day.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Almighty, our All-Powerful, our All-Knowing Father God in heaven, our Lord, we approach Thy mighty throne, Father, with bowed heads and humbled hearts this morning, Lord. Thankful, Father, that You bless each and every one of us here, Lord, with another day of life, Father, with the strength and wherewithal to rise up out of our beds on the first day of the week as commanded, Father. We have the privilege and the blessing, Lord, that we can openly assemble together, Father, and that we can worship Thee in spirit and in truth here this morning, Lord. Our Father, we're so thankful for the body of Christ, Lord, for our family here at Cross Street, Father. We ask, Lord, that You continue to bless our congregation here, Father. Bless our elders, our deacon, all of our teachers, Father, and all those that that helps to perform the work of the church here, Father. We know that it takes all the members of the body, Father, working together to have one whole and functioning body and functioning unit, Lord. Our Father, we're also mindful, Lord, of our community and our world. Father, we know that we have a lot of trials and tribulations that continue to plague our world, Father, but we just pray that You continue to shower us with Your blessings and with Your mercy, Father, that a cooler heads and compassion might prevail for all, Lord. Our Father, we're also mindful and thankful for all of the many blessings of life that You've richly bestowed upon each and every one of us, Father. And these things are really too many to even count or really contemplate, Lord, but we know that all these things flow from Thee, and we're so thankful unto Thee for them, Father. And Lord, we're most thankful today for Thy Son and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. We know, Lord, that this is the day that the world sets aside to remember Christ and His birth, Father, but really, we know as Christians, Father, we remember Christ today, but every day, Lord. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, for His sacrifice, the shedding of His blood which cleanses us from unrighteousness if we obey Thy gospel and remain faithful to it, Lord. And we're so thankful for Christ Jesus, Father, and all that He did for us, all He's done for us. We just pray, Lord, that the actions that we do in life, the deeds that we do, the words that we say, Lord, that they'll all be a direct reflection of our thankfulness for Christ, Father. And as we continue in our worship this morning, Father, we just pray that You'd continue to bless each and every one of us here, Lord, that You'd forgive us of our sins and shortcomings, Father, as we repent and turn away from those things, Father. We also pray, Lord, that if there be those here among us this morning, Father, that are subject to Thy invitation in any way this morning, Lord, that You might bless them with the courage to make those needs known, Father, while Your grace and mercy is extended just a little while longer. And Father, we pray that all of our acts of worship unto You this morning, Father, that all might be conducted decent and in order, Father, and that all might be most pleasing and acceptable unto Thee, Father. And Lord, we ask these and all things in the name of Thy Son, Christ Jesus. Amen.
Before we're partaking of the communion service, that's the same number 546. 546.
There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart can feel my deepest woe, who in his sorrow bears a heart that none can bear below. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first
Christ Jesus came into the world and he demonstrated how much he loved us. He gave himself as a living sacrifice for the sins of the world. In John chapter 15, verses 13, the Bible reads, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Before us, we have two emblems. We have the bread of life that represents the body of Christ Jesus that was sacrificed on the cross of Calvary. And the cup is the fruit of the vine that represents his shed blood that was shed for many for the remission of sin. Let us bow and give thanks for the bread. We are so grateful and so thankful, Father, and so humble for what Christ Jesus did for each and every one of us, knowing that while we all were sinners, he willingly went to the cross and died on our behalf. And we're so grateful and so thankful and humble to partake of this bread in his memory. For it is in Jesus' name we give you all praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Let us give thanks for the fruit of the vine. Dear Lord and Father, we thank you that we are able to remember Christ's blood that was shed on the cross on our behalf. We thank you that he gave of himself so freely that we might be able to commune with you. We take this time, Father, to remember you, to remember the love that was sent to us, and to remember the suffering that he made, that we might make it possible that we might be able to commune with you this time. Father, we ask that as we take this, we do not take it in vain, but we clear our minds, we clear our heads, and we take it in honor of you, remembering you each and every day of the week. but mainly, Father, each first day of the week. And this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
If anyone was inadvertently overlooked upon serving the Lord's Supper, please signal by raising your hand and you will be served. We have another commandment. As Christians, we are commanded to lay by in store the first fruits of our labor and be prepared to give back unto God. Let us give thanks. We're grateful in so merciful, Father, for all of the good gifts that you sent from above, the abilities that we have, the talents that human beings possess, enabling each and every one of us to go about our way and provide for ourselves and our families. We're so grateful and we're so thankful and honored to give back. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you praise, honor, and glory. Amen.
Song after the lesson this morning, number 566. 566, and then before the lesson in our scripture reading, let's sing number 562. 562.
Though my cross may be hard to bear, though my life may be filled with care, though misfortune be mine to share, I'll never forsake my Lord. I'll never forsake my Savior. He has never forsaken me. Neath the sheltering of I am safe from all harm. I'll never forsake my Lord. Though the tempter in anger slow, or in stumbles he as of old, should say to a Lord, my soul I'll never forsake my Lord. I'll never forsake the Savior. He has never forsaken me. Neath the sheltering of I say from all harm, I'll never forsake my Lord. So helpless I cannot see what the future may hold for me. Jesus, though then my God will be, I'll never forsake my Lord. I'll never forsake the Savior. He has never forsaken me. Neath the sheltering arm, I am safe from all harm. I'll never forsake my Lord.
This morning's scripture reading will come from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The title of this morning's sermon is Put the Christ Back in Christian. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. And now, Brother Hank Davis.
Thank you, Craig. Good morning, church. It's good to see everyone this morning. Good to be here this morning. Welcome to everyone who braved the elements to be with us this morning. It's really strange to me. It seems like every time I get an opportunity to stand before you and give a portion of God's word, I always got to grab my shovel first. It's that's the second time that's happened. I've had to dig out before I came out, but, you know, I'm so glad that we were able to endure and be able to see each and every one of you this morning. If you are visiting with us this morning, please know that you are our valued guest and that we're glad to have you. We hope that today's service and this message this morning is going to be both encouraging and edifying to you. And we ask that after the service that you don't rush off and you give us an opportunity to meet each and every one of you. Also want to welcome those who are joining us online. I know I saw Sister Brown's family in a couple of days, and they told me that they were going to be getting all dressed up and listening online. So I just wanted to say, Miss Brown, I know you're out there, so God bless you all, you know. You know, when we talk about the weather, you know, when I think about on Thursday and Wednesday, you know, the weather was really, really ominous. The forecast that we were getting, that we were going to get what they call a bomb cyclone. You know, that's what they was calling it, that we were supposed to get all this wind and it's going to get really cold and everything. And it did get pretty bad. It got bad for us, got bad for a lot of people around the state, around the country. And, you know, it gets to the point where you start to think to yourself, it could get so bad that perhaps, you know, they might cancel service if the weather gets so bad, you know. But I think about it, you know, in the folks down south and some folks, they would say, the devil is a liar. We having church today. And to God be the glory, we are having church today. And the scripture says, peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. I also want to take this opportunity to wish each and every one of you a Merry Christmas. This is December 25th, after all, and I want to make sure and I pray that you all have a great holiday and a great time with your family, after all. You know, and since this is being Christmas, I want to talk about this just briefly, if I could. You know, if today was July 4th, I would say Happy Independence Day. People would be attending parades, firing up the grill, probably to make some barbecue, which sounds really good, by the way, or just lighting fireworks. If it was the last Thursday in November, I would say to you, Happy Thanksgiving. People would prepare a meal, you know, probably with turkey and dressing, and they'll probably have family over and probably watch a little bit of football. Also, so today being, you know, December 25th, I say, what, Merry Christmas. Chances are that people have decorated a tree up in their homes. They're going to exchange gifts, and if you are a parent of small children, this has probably already occurred hours ago. And as for most of holidays here in America, we gather together and we go to find some place to eat. My point is that Christmas is a holiday no different than the 4th of July, Labor Day, Thanksgiving, and so on. And it has its history and it has its tradition that dates back centuries through many different cultures. Some religions would lead you to believe that Christmas is the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. Now, while I think that is a very, very noble sentiment, I want to let you know that there are some issues with that, and I just kind of want to touch on that a little bit, and Brother Nick in his prayer kind of did so also. You know, the Bible does indeed speak on the birth of Christ. You can see that in Matthew 1 starting in verse 18 and also in Luke 2 starting at verse 1. So it does speak on the birth of Christ, and the birth of Christ is very important. However, you must understand that there is no mention in the Bible of December 25th anywhere. There is no mention of it. You can look anywhere you want to. There's no, and you know how Bible speak can be. On this day, on this month, it's not mentioned there. Okay, so you have to understand that. You also have to understand the Rome's influence on Christmas. I'll get to that in a little bit, but I also want to speak on the time of the year. The time of the year, here being the early winter part, when you look at the Bible, if you read in Luke 8, it speaks of the shepherds being in the fields guarding their sheep. Now, normally, if you look at that and reference that a little bit, during that time and during that region, they did that normally in the fall. If you look at that time in that region, this time of the year, over in that region, is usually the rainy season. And that wouldn't be the time for shepherds to be out in the fields to try to guard their sheep. So that's just a couple of things. When you go back to the Roman influence, that Christmas as we know it today really started to originate with it being the birth of Jesus Christ somewhere around 350 A.D. When you look at it, my references, when I looked that up, and it's like, okay. And what it was a festival of the sun, S-U-N. And one of the Roman emperors at the time said, let's change that to S-O-N and let's make that a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that to disparage the holiday in and of itself, but to just give more biblical reference to it. Secondly, Jesus did not necessarily, he did not tell us to remember, out of his own mouth, he did not tell us to remember his birth. No, he did not. He said, what Jesus did was he had instructed us to remember what we do today, what we did today, and what we do every day is to remember what we do in the first day of the week, his remember his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This do, the Bible will say, this do in remembrance of me. You can look that up on various in various verses of the Bible. Luke 22:19-20 and others. That tells you what Jesus has told us to do. So at this time of the year, while we are celebrating another national holiday, I will say to you again, Merry Christmas. And next week at this time, God willing, we will say Happy New Year. So at this time of the year and this time of the season, you know, 2022 as a whole, and by the way, this year just kind of flew by. I don't know how you all feel, but it just seems like God in heaven has taken a stopwatch and pressed it to fast forward. Because it just seems like it was just January. And then all of a sudden it was the summer, and now here we are going into the last week of this year. Time is really flying by. We have to also understand that we are still living in what we would call troubled times. There's so many different things that's going on in this world that it just makes it hard for us sometimes to get through day to day. There are attacks on Christianity right now. When you're trying to do the right things in this world and you try to live a Christian life, there is an attack on Christianity. Why? Because you have some people out there that call themselves Christians, but they're not living like Christians. They're what they would call quasi-Christians, or otherwise known as Christians in name only. That's the behavior. There's people that they're losing focus on the things that are really important. You know, they're more concerned and losing sleep over what we call today, because you got some stores, you got some businesses that call it Xmas, okay, instead of Christmas, and they're more concerned about them putting as the Christ back in Christmas. Like I said, it's spouting and getting all concerned about that, but what we need to understand is we need to really work and strive daily to put the Christ back in Christian. Now, to put Christ back in Christian, we must first understand what the rules of Christian living are. And that's what we're going to try to break down on this morning, and this lesson is yours. Now, we can read, starting from the text this morning, and then moving down to Romans 12:13-21, it reads, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of same mind one towards another. Mind not high things, but consent to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peacefully with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So we're going to break that down a little bit, but we have to understand what we're talking about in this guide for Christian living. We go to Galatians 5:22, and it kind of gives us a little bit more of room here. The Galatians 5:22-23 talks of the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering or patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, the first thing that the fruit of the Spirit speaks of is love. So when it's the love that's going to conquer all things. So what is this love? How do we define this love? We're going to do that first. We're going to come all the way back, and it's all going to make a lot of sense to you. So what is love? When we look at 1 Corinthians 4, it defines what love is. It defines love as Charity, which means generosity, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. It is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeking not her own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. But there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. In other words, it is kind, patient, never jealous, boastful, proud or rude. It isn't selfish, and this is love, quick-tempered. It doesn't keep record of wrongdoings or that others do. It rejoices in the truth, but not in evil. Love is always supportive, loyal, hopeful, and trustful, trusting, and love never fails. So we have to be sincere in our love for others. We have to embrace what this love is. We have to hate everything that is evil and hold tight to everything that is good. Love each other as brothers and sisters and make honor others more than you do yourself. When you go to Mark 12 and 31 and Matthew 22 and 39, Jesus says, "Love, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is no other commandment greater than these." So what is he saying? He's like, look, no man would purposely hate himself, would he? Do we get up in the morning, I hate what I am and who I am? Would you purposely do that? No. You would want someone to treat you the way you would want to be treated. This is what Jesus Christ is saying. Now, what we do sometimes is we get so caught up in what somebody is doing or how somebody acts. But the Bible clearly says you can hate the sin, but not the person. You can despise the way somebody acts, but you cannot hate that person. You got the love on that person. My grandmother used to say, I'm going to love you, but I can hate your ways. So it's the same thing. We have to understand that this is something we have to delve into daily. This is part of Christian life. We cannot give up. Bible says we have to eagerly follow the Holy Spirit and serve the Lord. Let your hope make you glad. Be patient in time of trouble and never stop praying. We cannot stop praying. Take care of God's needy people and welcome strangers into your home. Now see, when we think of needy, when we think of needy sometimes, we think of somebody who needs something to drink, something to eat, somebody who might be begging for money. No. See, we have to understand that the love of God that dwells in us, we're supposed to give freely, right? So when we're talking about needy, there's somebody out there that can be hurting for something, and they come to you, and they talk to you, and you can give that encouraging word, and you can give that little bit of nugget of encouragement to get somebody going to the next day because of the God that dwells in you. See, this is what we have to understand. We look at people's conditions, their human conditions, and we take away from the fact that, look, I need the love on them because the day may come when I may need to minister to them and give them something more than just physical food or physical drink. May have to give them a spiritual food. Amen? The Bible would also say in John 14, 15 to 17, when Jesus was speaking to his apostles, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom you cannot receive because you see him not, neither know him, but ye know him, if he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. Matthew 25 and 35 said, I was hungry. Is what we're talking about. And you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. The apostles said, when do we do that? And he responded, inasmuch as you've done that for the least of my brethren, you have done it for me. So this is the other piece to that. When we do that, when we act that way, when we show that love, we are exhibiting Jesus Christ to somebody else. And when we don't, Jesus Christ said, the Bible said, if you do it to somebody else, you might as well be doing it to me. And that's heavy. From a Christian perspective, that's very heavy. Because we are quick, as human beings, we're quick to cut somebody off. We're quick to leave somebody alone. We are quick to say, I'm done with them. Okay? And I'm done with it because they did something to me. The Bible's got a word for that. He said, don't do that. The Bible says, bless everyone who mistreats you. See, we don't have a leg to stand on when it comes to what we try to perceive that bothers us, because the Bible has a rebuttal for it. Well, they did this to me. The Bible said to bless everyone who mistreats you. He said to bless them and not do what? Curse them. Pray God's will over their lives. See, this is what we have to understand. That when we pray for somebody, we have to pray God's will over their life, not our own. We can't go to God and say, God, make them leave me alone. God, do it. No. God, your will be done in their life. Whatever your will is, Lord, I give it over to you. Okay? Why? Before them, but also for you. You find peace when you do that. You find peace when you do that. When you are really trying to exhibit that love of God on a daily basis, you find peace in your life. Bible says, when others are happy, be happy for them. Be happy for somebody. Be genuinely happy. I've seen people be fake happy all the time. You should be real happy for yourself. That's not the way to be. We're supposed to be happy for somebody. We're supposed to show that level of empathy when someone is sad, when someone is happy. We're supposed to be friendly with everyone. And don't be proud and feel like you're smarter than others and make friends with ordinary people. Now, trust and believe. God is not asking us to be fools out here and walk around like clowns. No. He's given us all personalities. He's given us all past perceptions and everything like that. So you can be yourself with someone. But be your best someone. Be your godly someone. This is how this is supposed to do. Don't mistreat someone who's mistreated you. It doesn't work. Eye for an eye. Jesus Christ said early on, eye for an eye don't work anymore. He told us to turn the other cheek. But try to earn respect of others and do your best to live at peace with everyone. Now, we talk about this season. We talk about goodwill towards men and everything like that. This, for Christians, is a lifestyle difference, not a seasonal difference. This is a lifestyle difference. Matthew 5, 7 and 12, it says, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called who? The children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets which were before you. So it kind of goes with the territory. It kind of goes with the territory. And especially now, you know, you walk in, hello, what you so happy for? Because I got the joy of the Lord in my heart. Because that's the way I'm supposed to be, and that's the way I'm going to be. Matthew 6 and 1 reads, beware. Now, this is important. Okay, this has got to be real. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. You have to live this. You can't play act. You can't play act. You can't just go out here and just put on your Christian suit today and act like everything is good, then take it off, and then I see you at Kroger's and I can't get you. I'll get you to say hello. I'm kind of making light of that, but that's the fact. This is a lifestyle thing. Don't let evil defeat you, but defeat evil with good. John 15, 9 and 17 says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, and you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone may lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends And if you do what I command you, no longer do I call you servants. For the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends. And for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit shall abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. No greater gift than to lay down your life for his friend. What did Jesus Christ do for us? He laid down his life for us. We have to understand that service to others is service to God. To love others is to love the Lord. To pray for others is letting the God in you shine. First Peter says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye may show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. We are a peculiar people. A peculiar people does what? They love. They love under all circumstances. They pray for people who do things to them. That's peculiar. The world wants to exact vengeance. The world wants revenge. The world wants to stay angry. Okay? The Bible and Jesus is asking you to love each and every one of you. On this day and every day, you know, goodwill on earth all of that stuff, that's what's supposed to be every day in our lives. So putting the Christ back in Christian is displaying that and shining that marvelous, marvelous light. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house, that your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. That's Matthew 5, 14 through 16. And you got to understand, putting the Christ back in Christian. Christian. C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N. Without Christ, all you have is I-A-N, and that stands for I ain't nothing. That's right. Think about that. So, that's my message this morning. If you are here and you're not a member of the Lord's church, the question is simple. It's very simple. What shall I do to be saved? You got to understand that God has already done his part by sending his Son, Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins. And whosoever shall believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Your part, if you so choose, understand that you've already heard his word. I've given you multiple scriptures on this lesson. Believe in his word. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is Lord. Be baptized and come out of that water and walk in the newness of life. And God then adds you to his church. That's Acts 2 and 47. Not by the voted decision of men, but God alone adds you to his church. If you're already a Christian, you've strayed away for whatever reason, if you have detached Christ from Christianity, remember, Scripture tells us that we have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself to me, for me, rather. Galatians 2 and 20. The Father is waiting to rejoice and celebrate your return. And if you are in need of prayer, understand that prayer works. Prayer works. Prayer works. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with the hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put the Christ back in Christian. Whatever your needs this morning, we ask that you let them make known if we stand and have a seat on first pew as we stand and sing our song of invitation.
They tried my Lord and Master with no one to be saved. Until my ears shall hear.